Woohoo! So, one thing that's been on my heart, I mean, a lot over the years, but lately is even Lil, you reminded me of it this morning, the whole theme that has come up over and over again of know what you believe and why you believe it. And then I'm reading through the scriptures and reading through the word, and of course, coming across the what's called the Christmas story and reading in Matthew and reading in Luke. And the passage that talks about, and the virgin shall be with child, just struck me. Like, wow. And it's drawn from Isaiah, and yet it's repeated in Luke. It's hinted to in Matthew, but repeated in Luke. And the audacity that we believe that. I don't know if you ever stop to sometimes wonder about what we believe, you know. But again, it came from a few weeks ago. I preached on know what you believe and why you believe it, and the creed. You know, the Apostles' Creed kind of came to my heart at that point. And yeah, part of the Apostles' Creed is we believe in the virgin birth. And I just stopped to start contemplating that. And yeah, I actually do believe that. I believe that Mary was a virgin. I believe it very strongly that's what Scripture teaches. It's interesting, in the Isaiah passage in the Hebrew, the word virgin used there can actually mean young women, young woman. So it doesn't necessarily mean a virgin, but it means a young woman of age to be married in that. And I've talked with people about that fact, and they say, see, it doesn't have to be a virgin, because there's actually a lot of people in the church who don't, I don't know if they don't want to believe it, or they have trouble with the supernatural, right? And we serve a supernatural God. Like, we serve an amazing God. And I guess that's the point of kind of what I'm going to be sharing this morning. And it's like, why do you have a problem with that? Well, the Hebrew. And I'm like, okay, the Hebrew, that's true. Like, because let's face it, that's what the Hebrew says. But you know what? It's repeated in the New Testament. The New Testament is in Greek. Guess what the Greek means? The Greek means virgin, never having slept with a man. She was a virgin, according to Scripture. And I don't know why people are starting to have trouble with that. Maybe they're embarrassed by the things that we believe, but it got me thinking. It got me going, again, through the Christmas story as I look at it. You know, an angel did actually appear to Joseph. I believe that. I believe very strongly that an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. When he was contemplating divorcing Mary and putting her away quietly and so that it wouldn't embarrass her, an angel actually appeared to him and told him what was going on, that this is of God. I believe that an angel, Gabriel, appeared to Mary, where it talks about that in Luke, and he talks to her about what God is going to do and how she was favored. And Mary asked, well, how is this going to be? I don't understand how this is going to be. She wasn't doubting. She was just, I know how the birds and the bees work. And so, how is this going to happen? And then Gabriel explains, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And the one who is in you is going to be born to you, is going to be the Son of God. I really believe that. I believe that that happened. I believe before that, when Zechariah went into the temple, that he had an encounter with Gabriel, that he. It's awesome. Totally blew him out of the water. What's going on here? Right? One of the priests. And he actually saw Gabriel and spoke with Gabriel. I believe that Zechariah couldn't talk for a time. I believe that he was supernaturally, his mouth was closed, his tongue was tied, if you will. I believe that. Yeah. And I'm proud to say I believe it, because there it is in Scripture. I believe that 6 months later, when Elizabeth met with Mary, I believe that John the Baptist, still in the womb, leapt in the womb and and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and began prophesying. I believe that. Yeah, I believe the first person to recognize Jesus was a baby still in the womb. I believe that. I believe that when Jesus was born, that the angels went to the shepherds. I believe one started out and talking with them, and then all of a sudden a whole company of heavenly hosts gathered and said, "Glory to God in the highest." I believe that. I believe that. And the reason being is there it is in Scripture. And it got me thinking about all these passages in Scripture that people are trying to explain away. And again, I mean people in the church trying to explain away the miraculous. I believe that when Jesus grew up and he began his ministry, I believe he turned water into wine. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't that they forgot which jars they were serving from and they found some later. No, I believe he changed water into wine. I believe that he walked on water. I believe he walked on the Sea of Galilee. We had to use a boat when we went to Israel, but he walked on the water. I believe Peter walked on the water for a time until he began to doubt and he began to sink. I believe Jesus rose people from the dead. I believe he healed the sick. I believe he caused blind people to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I believe it all. Go back to the Old Testament. I believe that Elijah was fed by ravens. I believe that Moses' staff actually turned into a snake and swallowed up the other snakes of the magicians of the day of Egypt. I believe that the Red Sea parted. Carlene was looking online and listening to some video. I was listening as well to some this guy who believes that Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia, not in the desert, not in the Sinai Peninsula, and they believe that they have found the place where they crossed the Red Sea, and I think that's the most likely place, but I don't know where exactly it was for sure, 100% certain. But what I am 100% certain of is the waters parted. There was a wall of water on either side, it says, and the Israelites walked through the middle on dry ground. I believe that, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I believe that they were led by a pillar of cloud by the day and a pillar of fire by night. Imagine it. I believe it. Just the way the artist drew it in that little picture Bible that I grew up reading as a kid. I believe it. I believe that Moses met with God on Mount Sinai. And I believe he was there 40 days and 40 nights and he didn't need to eat anything and God sustained him. And then he came down. He saw the Israelites reveling in adultery and idolatry and broke the tablets and then went straight back up the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights without food because God sustained him. I believe that. I believe it. I believe all the things. I believe the walls of Jericho fell when they marched around. I believe that Ezekiel saw the Lord high and lifted up. I believe that Isaiah saw him. I believe all the miracles in the Scriptures. I don't doubt a single one of them. And we have to know that and not be ashamed. The world is going to press in more and more. And the world is convincing much of the church that, no, this isn't true. I remember listening to one preacher and talking about, well, it doesn't really matter if Mary was a virgin or not. Yes, it does. Because it speaks to the very credibility of the Scriptures. And it speaks to the very divinity of Christ. Mind you, this preacher would probably say, well, whether he was divine or not, that doesn't matter either. Because that's where it leads. You start eroding away one part of the foundation and eventually the whole foundation is eroded. That's the nature of erosion. Erosion is never satisfied. It never says, well, that's enough. that's fine. I won't erode anymore. No, it keeps on digging away and eroding and eroding and eroding. I believe it all. And we need to speak it out. We need to speak it out to ourselves. We need to encourage each other. We need to speak it out as we read about, as we read the scripture and get in the word, because it is a supernatural book. These are supernatural words. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. We need to be in the word so that God can operate in our lives. I mean operate, actually, with the scum, but operate as well in general. So that he can heal us and change us and mold us and make us. I don't want to compromise the living and active word of God. And you know what? People need miracles in their lives. And not just for miracles' sake. I've been, again, we've talked about this a number of times, but I've been thinking about, yeah, the gift of healing. And I'm so encouraged by what Ian shared. They had to go to a family reunion, by the way. That's why they left. They weren't offended. Told me beforehand. But I think about how God used signs and wonders in the scriptures, and it was to point people to him. Jesus himself in his ministry said, well, if you don't believe my words, at least believe the miracles. And he would point to the miracles to prove that what he was saying was true. I believe in miracles, even though I haven't seen very many. I haven't seen the dead raised. I haven't seen the lame walk. I haven't seen the blind see. I haven't walked on water. I haven't seen water changed into wine. I haven't been fed by ravens, although the Lord has taken care of us. But again, in such a way where it's like, is it really the Lord? Is it not the Lord? Yes, it is. I believe it. The whole story, and it's not a story, that's the thing I think of Ian, right? He knows, he understands. It's an account. The whole account of Jesus in Bethlehem being born, it's true. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I know I don't have to convince anyone in this room that it's true. Okay? At least I hope not. And if I do, okay, that's okay. I'll do that too. But I know. But I do it. I believe the Lord has put this on my heart today, because we more and more need to solidify what we believe. And yet I'm standing on this and I'm not moving from it. I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on the fact that we serve a supernatural God. I'm standing on the fact of what he shares in his word. I'm standing there and I'm staying there, and that's what I'm proclaiming. That's the message. And then, like we've talked to each other before, I'm going to walk it out. So with regards to the miracles, because how does this practically work out then? So why is it important? Well, because then if we believe what the Word of God says, we will then continue to, I hate to use the word try, but for lack of a better word, we will continue to try to walk it out. I might not come across a village and everyone in the village is healed. Okay, it talks about Jesus going to villages and they would bring all their sick, all their hurting, all their dying, and everyone was healed. That might not happen for me, but you know what? I'm going to try. How about that? Someone comes to ask for healing because they came to him, so he didn't necessarily go around to everyone, but they came to him. Can you pray for me? Yes. And I believe God heals. I'm going to try, and I might fail. In our eyes, meaning the definition of failure there, failure is the wrong word, but the person might not be healed. I don't care. I believe in a supernatural God. I believe it all. It's almost this place of either I'm going to believe it all or I'm going to believe nothing at all. Either I embrace it all or I leave it all, but I choose to embrace it all. I've seen too much. I know God too well to think that it's not true. And if one of his words are true, then all of his words are true. And it starts. I know it starts at creation, and but like you think about it, it starts in a little town of Bethlehem with Almighty God. Yes, I believe this. Almighty God taking on flesh and being the size of little Jeremiah back there. Almighty God, all 7 pounds of him. Can you imagine? Right? It's like, I don't know if Mary fully got it at the beginning. I love her faith. It's one of my favorite phrases in the book of Luke and with the Christmas story. May it be to me as you have said. You know, she just, I don't get it necessarily, but okay. And then Almighty God, wrapped in a little bundle of cloth. I believe it. It's the truth. And I think it's important that we remind ourselves. It's not just a story. It's not an allegory. It's not a metaphor. It's reality.
Okay. You mentioned like the practicality of it and of our day-to-day life, like walking out those miracles, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I know in me, like, I've had to really counter and go after coincidence.
Yes.
Because I think that really takes away from the little miracles that God's doing in our lives. And I think that's a big way that I think even the church and listening to sharing with other people, like, they've just allowed coincidence to come in, and it's taken away from these little miracles that are God's doing in our lives that are leading up to
right
bigger things that he wants to do in us. And so, yeah, practically, like, we need to be on guard against that thought of coincidence.
That's right.
Because God's got so many little things that he's doing in our lives that are accumulating to these bigger things
that's
that
right.
One day he wants to bless us with,
yeah,
and walk with us in.
Amen. If you have prayed for something, if you have asked the Lord, and what I mean by that too is sometimes my prayers, it's not the prayer. Prayer isn't just starts with dear Jesus and ends with amen. Sometimes it's the groaning of our hearts even. Okay, Romans talks about that and how the Holy Spirit interprets. But if you have prayed for something and that has been answered and you can clearly say it, praise God for it. Don't let your flesh, don't let the enemy, don't let the world say that's coincidence. No, it's not. And it's important that we understand, it's important that we realize we serve a supernatural God and we walk it out then. And we don't allow whether it happens or not to dictate what we believe. We believe it because God says it. And his word is true. And so we start walking it out. We start, I love it, we start praying about what gift we should get someone. We pray over what we should name our children. We pray over where do you want to go today, Lord? What do you want to do in us today? I want to be at the right place at the right time, Lord. And we start living our lives according to the wonderful, beautiful, loving, supernatural God that we serve. But as soon as we start allowing, as soon as the church starts allowing the enemy to come in or the world to come in and erode the scriptures and erode the very clear historical, it's history. Don't let the mockers, don't let the mocking world who is so proud of all the scientific advancements that it's made and the discoveries that it's made, and God's in heaven saying, you haven't hardly even discovered anything yet. Like, yes, you've discovered a lot, but that's nothing. Like, who would have thought, you know, 100 years ago, 500 years ago, who would have thought that radio waves and the internet cloud and being able to send a person to the moon and satellites to the far distance of our universe or of our, you know, of our solar system, not the universe, but the solar system, right? And it's like, wow, we can do a lot. Yeah, we can. But God's sitting there saying, you don't even know anything yet. You're just scratching the surface of even the technological advancements that could be made. You don't understand anything yet. But we're so proud as a society, as a world. You know, so much so that some scientists say, well, because we've made all these discoveries, we don't need God anymore. We don't even need the idea of God. Don't let those mockers, okay? And I'm not saying they get like everything wrong. No, they have discovered things. But don't let those mockers laugh you down and cause you to doubt the historical claims of Scripture. When it talks about Mary being a virgin, it is, again, I want to say it very clearly, that is not parable, that is not metaphor, that is a historical claim. A historical claim. The angels meeting the shepherds, it's an historical claim. Claiming history. It's telling history. Pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, it's not metaphor. It's a historical claim. These things happened in real world time to real people, real lives, living from one day to the next. The miracles of Christ, one day blind Bartimaeus couldn't see. The next day he could. One moment, he's crying out to Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The next minute, Jesus is asking him, what do you want? Well, I want to see. And the next minute, he can see. It's giving historical fact. Don't believe the lie. And the reason I'm sharing that, you might be thinking to yourself, but Kevin, like, I don't believe that. And yet, let me ask you, and you don't have to answer this, but how many of you have entertained the thought of it? I have. Not entertained. Maybe that's too strong of a word. But I have heard the enemy speaking into my head. Really? You believe that? Really? Did God really say? Well, then you know who it's coming from, right? Oh, by the way, yes, I do believe in an actual Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve, Adam being created from dust, from dirt, God breathing into his nostrils. I don't believe it's metaphor. I don't believe it's an allegory. I believe that's how it actually happened, and then God placing them in the garden. And yes, I believe that Satan, whether he manifest as a snake or he came in and possessed a snake, I don't know which, that he came in and he spoke to Eve, tempted her. I believe there really was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. I don't believe it was an apple tree. Doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture. I have my own thoughts on that, what it was. Probably a fig tree. Carly and I teach that. And I believe they were cast out of an actual garden with an actual angel guarding the entrance with a sword, flaming sword. Yep. Why? Because that's what God says. And I really believe it's important to slow down and go over what we believe and not be ashamed of it. I like listening. I mentioned this on Monday. The guy, Dr. Warren something. I forget his last name, but Cold Case Christianity is his website. So really cool stuff. And I was listening to him. I listened to Ravi Zacharias. I listened to John Lennox. I listened to some other apologists and people who study deeply, Lee Strobel and that. We have excellent reason to believe the historical claims and the validity of the scriptures. Excellent reason. The excellent reasoning. Such that it's almost, if you dig into it, what this guy was an atheist and just a brilliant mind, criminal investigator, detective. And he's absolutely convinced, as I am, as we are. We might think, well, we're convinced. Again, this is the accusation that the enemy brings in. Well, you just believe because you were raised in the church. Well, A, not everyone here was raised in the church. But B, that's not why. And this guy wasn't raised in the church, and he dug in, and he looked into it, and he examined the evidence, whether it's the manuscript evidence and the eyewitness evidence, because he's used to dealing with eyewitnesses and all of it, and he's come to the conclusion, no, this is actually fact. Never let the mockers laugh you down. Never let the mockers bring in doubt as to the validity of the Word of God. Unfortunately, Christmas has been mixed together with a lot of fairy tale and story, meaning Santa Claus and different stuff. And what that does is when the children find out that Santa Claus isn't real, and I hope you all knew that, then then, well, maybe Jesus isn't real either. Maybe he's just a nice story. No. It is an amazing account, and it's truth. But there's so much fairy tale. There's so much fairy tale mixed in with Easter as well. Rabbits having eggs that are chocolate. You ever see a chocolate egg from a rabbit? Yeah. If you ever see a chocolate egg from a rabbit, don't eat it. It's just not right. But so much fairy tale mixed in, and then people, it's all just lumped together. No. No, no, no. Jesus died on the cross, and he rose from the dead 3 days later. An angel came and lifted away the stone, not so that Jesus could get out, but so that people could come in and see. And he stood there, and the angel talked with people, and Jesus was there and talked with Mary and others, met the disciples later on, ascended into heaven 40 days later. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, baptized the people of God in his Spirit. These are historical accounts, and it's important for us to come to that solid place, because people are going to come and ask. There's going to be a remnant who might, when there's a big crowd, they're mocking as well and laughing, but later on when it's just one-on-one, they want to know, they want to hear, and they want to know the truth, and they're searching. And we need to understand what we believe and know what we believe, not be wishy-washy. Don't be ashamed of these things. When they ask at work, do you really believe that Mary was a virgin? Yes, I do. Well, how does that work? I'm not sure. I don't know how it fully worked. It says that the Holy Spirit came on her. That's what it says. The Holy Spirit came upon her. And she became pregnant. And he is Almighty God in the flesh. Are there any questions or comments on this?
If we fail to accept what the then we exclude ourselves from heaven.
Hmm.
Very serious business.
Yeah, very serious. It can lead to that. I don't see how it can't lead to that eventually. Because again, the nature of erosion, if we start doubting the very clear teaching of the Bible on Jesus' birth, it will eventually lead to not believing and doubting what the Bible says about his death and about his resurrection. Because I mentioned these preachers who mock or who say it doesn't matter. That same preacher also says that the doctrine of atonement, meaning Jesus died for the sins of the world, is horrible and disgusting, I think. Something words like that. Because the nature of erosion is to erode everything. So this is very serious business.
Just a little, maybe some humor, but a couple weeks ago, one of my friends at Tim Hortons, he's in his 80s, so he's slowing down a little bit. He doesn't have a handicap sign on his car yet, but he probably could. But he came into Timmy's one morning, and we had seen him driving around. The Timmy's down here has a very limited parking lot, and at certain times it's busy. He drove around the building like four times before a parking spot finally opened up near the door so that he could get out. And he came in, he's like frustrated. He's like, one more time around, I would have gone home. And I said, well, three more times around, maybe the walls would have fallen down and you could have driven right in. And a couple other guys, and one guy looked at me and he says, you believe that stuff? And I says, of course. He says, well, why? And I says, well, because it's in the Bible and I believe the Bible and God did it. And the discussion sort of ended there, but it was that question, what do you believe? And
yeah.
Do you really believe that stuff? And that was the word that he used. Do you believe that stuff? I said, yeah, I do. But yeah, so it's just in our everyday life, like how can we speak of God's miraculous and what, you know, what do we believe, even in the small humorous things?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and suddenly,
yes,
just kept coming to me now as you were speaking. And so, like, when the shepherds were out in the field, well, first of all, a few miraculous things had happened, and the rumor mill would have already been, like, you know, spreading on some of these things, right? But so the angel comes to the shepherds, only one, and then it says, and then suddenly, like, there was this host, right? And I'm like, oh. Because, like, that's sometimes a sense that I get, like, that there's a preparation, again, of, like, little things, and suddenly,
yep,
it's going to come. Like, so, like, the things that we believe in the Bible, I also think pertains to the things that God has placed on our hearts for signs, miracles, and wonders, and suddenly it's going to be poured out, you know? And it's like, oh, but we need to already be believing and knowing what we believe back here so that it can go forward.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Because I don't know how the "and suddenly" with the whole heavenly host works, but the way I see it is that the angels were already there. Now, it doesn't describe, so this is just my opinion, but they were already there, but they suddenly became apparent. So again, what we believe, okay, we do believe in the spiritual realm. Do you understand? Do we understand that there are angels in this room right now? Do you understand that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have said yes to him, you have an angel, at least one with you, all the time. All the time. Do you understand that? Do we believe? And it's like, it's one of those things where sometimes we, well, yeah, I believe that. No, no, okay, let's stop and think about it here. I actually believe this. And do you know how crazy the world would think I am if they heard this? And they can hear it. They can hear it online, right? As soon as it's posted, they'll be able to hear this. And I don't mind. I think of Hebrews. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Yeah, I believe that. I believe they're here. They're just, they haven't shown themselves. Because I imagine, I know that they are obeying God. They answer to God. They minister to us, but they answer to God. I believe. Why? Because the scriptures make it clear. And by the way, the whole that an angel goes with each of us, that comes from the Gospels, where Jesus is talking about the little children, and he talks about how, don't you know that their angels, using a possessive pronoun, their angels are before the throne, or something along those lines. But it uses this place of the children have their angels. Yeah, I believe it. Not sure.
In the Psalms, I think it's 34, it says that the righteous have angels encamped around them.
Yeah. And again, we might think, well, what is it like? Virgin birth, pillar of fire, cloud, maybe it was just metaphor. Maybe the walls falling down, that's just metaphor for God's might and strength, and it's the number seven times around. No. Historical claims. And here's a little tidbit, right? We can't get into it right now, but one day we might. One day we might do a little bit of a digging into the apologetics of it all. You know, because it's not wrong to do that. It's not wrong that our faith is reasonable. Okay? It's actually good to understand that. It's good to get into that if the Lord is leading you into it. And I think we should all know that, but at least a little bit. But every time, every historical claim, like the thing about history is you can't ever really disprove it per se, because it's history anyways. But they keep on finding more and more archaeology, more and more in the history books, more and more that confirm what we see here in the scriptures. And even when evidence is staring them in the face, like sea creatures, the fossils of sea creatures being found on the tops of mountains, you know, even when they see stuff like that, they come up with other ideas and other theories. No, yeah, I believe that the entire world was covered by a flood. Global flood. And we're the only people that were saved were Noah and his family. I believe that. Don't be ashamed. There is a lot of evidence. I've mentioned this one before. Do you know that in the mid-1900s, right, 1940, 1950, they believed that the universe was eternal. The Christians kept on saying, no, it had a beginning. No, it's eternal. We're scientists. We know. And then they got telescopes big enough that proved to them, oh, okay, it did have a beginning. And now they're saying, but it was 15 billion years ago. Don't worry. You'll understand, too, that you're wrong there. Don't be ashamed of what you believe. So in Christmas here, we are celebrating one of the most, if not the most miraculous thing. I don't know how to judge the miraculous. Was it most miraculous that he created everything out of nothing? Was it most miraculous that he raised from the dead? Was it most miraculous that he took our sins on his shoulders and we are now set free? Is it most, you know, so it's definitely up there though. Almighty God being born as a little baby. Coming to a couple that was not even officially married yet. They were married, but not, they were engaged, but they were betrothed. And this little, I don't know, I always think of Mary as little, but I don't know how tall she was in that. But this teenage virgin becoming the mother of Jesus, Yeshua. What a mighty God we serve. Yep, go ahead.
So the question is begged. We sing that song, Show Your Power.
Yeah.
The Lord our God. My thing is, well, God, let's start seeing a lot of these miracles. You know, let's just throw them out there in front of everybody, and that will draw everyone to you. That'll strengthen your church, et cetera, et cetera. But even in his life and ministry,
yep.
there were times where, again, it's not the miracle itself, you were saying at the beginning. And even places he couldn't do miracles because of their
yep,
unbelief.
Lack of faith.
Lack of
yeah.
faith and that sort of thing. And so I'm just trying to be cautious myself because, yeah, I would get excited as any of us to start seeing the miraculous, the supernatural in a much bigger way. But I don't want to believe that's the answer to everything. I don't want to believe that's the answer to apathy in the church or people not coming to him in droves with
right.
revival.
No.
But it's a part of it, for
it's
sure.
It's a part of it, and that's the whole thing, right? It's not everything, but it is a part. And it's not even the main part. You know, the main part of the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the main part is not that Mary was a virgin. That's not the main part. The main part is the death and resurrection, right, of Jesus, Almighty God. So the virgin birth is not the main part. And that's where I get so frustrated sometimes listening to people, well, because it's a main part, don't concentrate on it at all. Why even talk about it? Why discuss it? Why raise controversy? Well, it might not be the main part, but it is a part. You know, just because the wheels on my vehicle aren't the main part of my vehicle doesn't mean they're not important. They are. The virgin birth is a part of it. The miracles are a part of it. And yeah, we've had enough, like, that's the whole thing. Like, don't believe the whole... Don't believe when the enemy comes in accusing, or and sometimes through the world, sometimes through the church. But don't believe when the enemy comes in accusing, saying, well, just stick to the main stuff and that. No, we're sharing a sermon like this, of course, not forgetting about all the other sermons we've had. Not forgetting the sermons on holiness. Not forgetting the sermons on righteousness. Not forgetting the sermons on forgiveness and repentance. Not forgetting the sermons on all these other things, that God has more for us, and there's a dying world out there. Not forgetting the sermons about heaven and hell and all these things. But this is part of the story. And even as you're sharing that, I think of Acts chapter 4, where the disciples, having just been brought before the Sanhedrin and flogged and mocked and all that, they're praying to God. And part of their prayer is, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That was one of the prayers of the early church. So it's part of it, right? May we walk out that part.
I keep thinking of the verse in Romans when Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel,
yeah.
for it is the power of God for salvation to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles. But also in relation to in Revelation, where it says they overcame the evil one by the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
And I am convinced that when it comes to miracles and signs and wonders and healings, that we have to get over our embarrassment
yeah.
of speaking the word first. Because whenever you see these signs and wonders, the word of God always went first.
Mm.
When Jesus did the majority of healings he did, it was in the context of after him preaching the word. Mm. So I'm convinced that we have to get over the embarrassment and not being ashamed of the gospel
yeah.
and speaking the word. And then afterwards, when we put ourselves out there and says, well, we believe God can do this,
yeah.
then God has to show up. We put him on the spot, so to speak.
Yeah. And it's up to God, right?
We risk a huge embarrassment
Absolutely.
For ourselves. But it is, again, it's very clear in Revelation that they overcome the evil one by the word of
yeah.
their testimony.
Yeah, the power of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Yeah, the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Amen. Yeah. All right, I want to pray for us then. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this, the reality of you coming as a little babe. Thank you. Thank you for having different people write down the account of what took place then. Thank you for the virgin birth. Thank you for sending angels to proclaim the good news. Thank you for the wise men who traveled all that way and they trusted in what they read in the prophetic word. Thank you for all the miracles that we see. Thank you for all the miraculous. And Lord, we believe. I just want to speak that over. I can't make decisions for individuals, but I can, again, the words, this has come to me a few times in prayers at times, by the power invested in me as the pastor, as Emmanuel Grace, we believe the whole word of God from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation and everything in between. We believe all the miracles. We believe that when it's talking about history and giving historical account, we believe these things actually happened. So we believe in the virgin birth. And I'm just declaring this for everyone here listening, anyone who listens later on, but also into the heavenly realms. We believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We believe it all. We believe it all. And Lord, I pray that more and more our belief would lead us and dictate to us how we live our lives then, how we pray for people, how we pray over our region, how we pray for our neighbors and our family, how we pray for healing, how we pray for miracles. I pray that the belief, that our action would be led by our belief in you. And ultimately it is this belief in you, belief in every word that comes from your mouth. We praise you. We love you. And so I pray again for churches who are putting on concerts and plays and having Christmas Eve services and Christmas Day services. I pray that the gospel, this part of the gospel, would be shared clearly and unashamedly. And I pray for those churches who are backing away from these things, and I pray that they would be brought to repentance, that they would be reminded that these things are true and they matter. And I pray for us here, I pray that we would be filled with courage and joy to share these things. I pray that we would share with joy everything we believe. Because you are the Savior of the world. You are the only Savior of the world. You are the only hope of the world. And we don't want to water down one piece of the gospel. We don't want to water down one piece of the Word of God. And so we thank you and we love you. And we celebrate your birth, even though we probably know you weren't born at this time. But we do celebrate your birth. You know, I joke about that. And I think it's good that we know that he was born at Tabernacles. I think the church is missing something by missing that little fact, that little tidbit. But I love that we don't look down on, I love that when they ask, do you celebrate Christmas? I love that you didn't go into this lengthy explanation of, well, no, we don't because we believe, that, you know, da, 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 da. No, we do. And really, this is a holy time of year. Why? Not because the church is getting the timing right, but because the church is genuinely celebrating the coming of the Messiah. That's why, because there is so much focus on the celebration of Almighty God being born as a little baby. That's what makes this time holy. And so we celebrate Christmas in the sense of, yeah, we celebrate his coming. And I love that even for a little bit of time, even the world has to notice the nativity scenes and the Christmas pageants. And it's one out of two times a year that some people who never darkened the door of a church will actually enter a church. Now and Christmas time and Easter time. And I celebrate that fact, and I pray that they would be presented with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So Merry Christmas. And don't be ashamed. You're going to be around tables with family and maybe some friends, and don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to proclaim what you know to be true. Yeah, praise God. Amen.